Our scripture passage for this morning, for our Thanksgiving Day sermon, comes from Psalm 147. I will read the entire psalm. However, verses 7 to 11 will be our sermon text for this morning. Let us now hear the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord! How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of a man. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Extol the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For he strengthens the bars of your gates and blesses your people within you. He grants peace to your borders and satisfies you with the finest of wheat. He sends his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He spreads the snow like wool and scatters the frost like ashes. He hurls down his hail like pebbles. Who can withstand his icy blast? He sends his word and melts them. He stores up his breezes and the waters flow. He has revealed his word to Jacob, his laws and decrees to Israel. He has done this for no other nation. They do not know his laws. Praise the Lord. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. I encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at God's word together on this Thanksgiving day. O dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, on March 2nd, 1863, Senator James Harlan of Iowa introduced a resolution in the Senate asking the President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, to proclaim a national day of prayer and fasting. And so on March 30th of the same year, President Lincoln signed a proclamation announcing a national day of fasting and prayer. It would eventually be on in April. And I would like to read a portion of the proclamation and explain why I think it is relevant to Thanksgiving Day. Lincoln said these words, a proclamation by the President of the United States of America. Whereas the Senate of the United States, devoutly recognizing the supreme authority and just government of Almighty God, imagine that being said today, in all the affairs of men and of nations, has, by a resolution, requested the President to designate and set apart a day for national prayer and humiliation. And whereas it is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. Psalm 33 he is referring to there. He goes on, and in so much as we know that by his divine law, nations like individuals are subjected to punishments and chastisements in this world, may we not justly fear that the awful calamity of civil war, which now desolates the land, may be but a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins to the needful end of our national reformation as a whole people. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched us and strengthened us, and we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. And I love what he says here. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. And he goes on. What a powerful declaration, a proclamation by Abraham Lincoln. Instead of humbling ourselves before God, the one who made us and provides every good for us, we become self-absorbed. Self-absorbed. And we forget God. There's no gratitude or thanks to God. One English writer and poet by the name of Walter Savage Landor wrote these words: "We think that we suffer from ingratitude, while in reality we suffer from self-love." He's not saying that ingratitude doesn't exist. He's just saying that the heart of it is a self-love. That's the problem. And this is, in fact, predicted by the Scriptures, isn't it? And are signs of the last days. In fact, the Apostle Paul writes these words to Timothy: "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of self rather than lovers of God." And so we have to ask of God, well, what is man's duty? What is man's duty? On this Thanksgiving morning, I want us to reflect upon the proclamation of the psalmist. The proclamation of the psalmist. And how he calls us to thankful praise to God. We're going to consider the call to thankful praise. We're going to consider God's deeds in creation and God's delight in his people. And so the psalmist makes a call to thankful praise in God. Why? Because look at his deeds in creation. Look at his delight in his people and what he has done for them. This ought to stir in us a response of thankful praise. In verse 7, the psalmist says, "Sing to the Lord," or more literally, it's answer to the Lord or respond to the Lord with thanksgiving. The translation "sing to the Lord" is good there because it's in that context. You can translate it "sing to the Lord" or "respond with singing to the Lord with thanksgiving." Music holds an important place in the life of Israel, and it holds an important place in the life of the Church of Jesus Christ. It is a gift of God, and with our tongues, with our mouths, we sing thankful praise to the God who made us. And dear friends, our prayer life and our praise life is a direct reflection of our gratitude to God. This is how the Bible, God's Word, measures a person's gratitude: their prayer life and their praise life. When God's people assembles together, like we are doing this morning, we sing praises to Him for who He is and what He has done. And God calls us to do this with a heartfelt gratitude unto Him. And this is the psalmist's point when he says, "Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music to our God." Gratitude or thanksgiving is rendered to God alone. It is rendered to Him in song. Recently, I was reading some writings by a man by the name of Robert Brault. He's a freelance writer. And he wrote these words: "There's no such thing as gratitude unexpressed. If it is unexpressed, it is plain old-fashioned ingratitude." The psalmist reminds us that gratitude is expressed. Thankful praise to God. The Christian has a song on their heart and a song on their lips. In the New Testament scriptures, Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, if you'd like to turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, one of Paul's letters, beginning at verse 12, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. The Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Three times. Gratitude, thanksgiving. It's an everyday desire, pursuit, and goal of God's people, expressed in song and prayer and in communication with one another to give thankful praise unto our great God. Every morning, wake up, brothers and sisters, and our prayer should be, "Thank you, Lord, for your blessings that abound every day. And give me a heart of thankful praise. Remove the bitterness, the complaining, the grumbling, the pity party. And put in my heart a thankful praise unto you." We all need to be praying this prayer. Thankful praise to God arises from a faith or belief in God's deeds in creation. And we see this in verses 8 to 9. Where he writes, "He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call." God cares for his creation. Jesus talks about this in the Sermon on the Mount. He provides for the sparrow. He provides for the significant creatures and the insignificant. He shows no partiality. God cares for them all. And in this creation, we truly see His handiwork, including His power and glory and majesty. Psalm 19 says these words, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge." And so the creation talks to you and me. It communicates to us the praise of our God, the power of our God. When we see nature, like tsunamis, earthquakes, it should bring great fear upon us because of the power of Almighty God. And that by His hand, He controls it all. God's deeds in creation communicate this power to us. They pour forth speech, they display knowledge, they communicate the deeds of the Lord. And our response to God's deeds in creation, thankful praise to God. Charles Spurgeon says this, "God speaks to us in His works. Let us answer Him with our thanks." Spurgeon's always good with words. God speaks to us in His works. Let us answer Him with our thanks. I remember when I was going to Moody Bible Institute, I was in a missions class, and we had to see this video called Itau. And Itau was a documentary made by missionaries who went into a tribal region And this husband and wife, they went into this bush area. It was secluded, nobody around for thousands of miles. And they had to communicate to the tribe there. And they did what was called a chronological message of the gospel. So it's redemptive history. And so they started with creation, and they had to use like pictures because they couldn't communicate verbally. And so they had, as they learned the language, they were able to communicate with word, but also visually with props. And so, this tribal region, they had like practically no clothes. It was just linen over them. And so that's how remote this place was. Well, they got to the gospel message, and the whole tribe was converted when they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what was amazing was that they all began to burst into tears because they realized that their loved ones before them did not know the Lord Jesus Christ. But then all of a sudden a great earthquake hit the land, and they started screaming in grateful praise unto God because of the salvation they knew in Christ. It was an earthquake that overwhelmed them, and they started to begin their lives in laughter, their new life in Christ, in grateful praise unto God. In God's deeds in creation, He declares His praises. He declares His majesty and power. And by His power, He clothes the sky with the clouds, provides for the beasts, the birds. And the psalmist is saying, as he moves into God's delight in His people, he says, how much more does God care for those who hope in Him, who love Him? How much more does the Creator of heaven and earth, who holds all things in His hand, provide for the redemption of man? And so He calls and commands us to trust not in man or in beast, or in one's own hands and labor. He calls us not to trust in governments or armies or institutions. He calls us to hope in Him. God's delight is in His people, that is, those who trust in Jesus Christ. Look with me at verses 10 and 11. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor His delight in the legs of a man. The Lord delights in those who fear Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love. Without the Lord, the Israelites were powerless against the surrounding nations. Without the Lord, the Israelites were powerless in the exile in Egypt. Without the Lord, the Israelites were powerless in exile in Babylon. However, God, by His mighty and powerful hand, saved His people Israel from Egypt and from Babylon. And the result of that moved a man, Moses, and his sister Miriam to do what? To sing a thankful praise unto God. In Exodus, after the Exodus occurred, Miriam and Moses sang a song of thanksgiving for God's redemption, because God delights in His people, in those who trust in Him and hope in Him. The kings of the world had great armies with mighty warriors. The kings of Israel even had mighty armies, many mighty men who fought for the king. However, the kings of Israel were warned not to trust in their own power and might, not to trust in their chariots, not to trust in their horses, not to trust in their own strength, but to trust in the living God who saves. Today, we as a country have mighty weapons to fight our enemies. The U.S. was one of the most powerful militaries in the world. And the Lord says, do not trust in your tanks. Do not trust in your ships. Do not trust in your fighter jets. Hope in the Lord. At a spiritual and eternal level, the temporary, the temporal, will get us nowhere. The material will not get us anywhere. In fact, the Bible says it is foolish to trust in oneself, But those who fear God come to God in reverent awe and fear and respect. One Bible commentary says that prayers and praises of thanksgiving occur when we joyfully acknowledge the goodness of God manifested in all temporal and spiritual blessings bestowed on us. Since everything came from God, we must also end in Him, he says. He made us, and therefore He owns us. And yet, He owes us nothing. He bestows grace upon grace on His people. And our response should be one of grateful praise unto God. Because of His grace, we are duty-bound to offer sacrifices of thanksgiving. Genuine gratitude to God arises out of a heart that is known by God, and a heart that seeks God, and a heart that has faith in God. And this is produced in God's people by His Holy Spirit. Christians give thankful praise to God because we know the saving hand of God in our lives through faith in Jesus Christ. We were in a spiritual exile because of our sin and misery, because of our rebellion against God, because of our idolatry. We too were in exile, a spiritual exile. And God so graciously saved us from this exile. And this is why men like the Apostle Paul can say, in any and every circumstance, give thanks to God and be content. And so God delights in those who hope in His unfailing love. He does not give up on His creation, nor does He give up on His people. In fact, He is patient and long-suffering toward us. One Bible commentator says, the Lord rewards those who fear Him. That is, those who put their hope in His unfailing love. They look for victory and vindication. Those who depend on the Lord know the vanity of military, logistical, and human power, because the strength of the horse and a man is nothing in comparison to the Lord's power. In fact, the Lord hates those who depend on human conventions for security. Depending on one's wealth for security. Depending on someone else for your security. Depending on family for security. Depending on a spouse for security. No, our hope needs to be in the name of the Lord. Dear friends, there is no motif in the Bible that more adequately reveals the essence of biblical Christianity than gratitude or thanksgiving. Gratitude lays at the heart of it because, as one author writes, it forms the only response, the only proper response to that which had happened in history, namely God's salvation of His people. Only proper response, gratitude. That's why in our Reformed Confession, the Heidelberg Catechism, the last section is on gratitude. Sin, salvation, service. Serving with a grateful heart. On this Thanksgiving Day morning, let this be a reminder to all of us that every day is cause to sing to the Lord with thanksgiving, to make music unto God with the harp, with your voice, because His deeds in creation and because He delights in His people. The Bible teaches that those who trust in the Lord will not be disappointed. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you do not know what it means to have a grateful heart because of what God has done for you in Jesus Christ, know this, that He sent His one and only Son into this world, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And that if you believe on Him, and in Him. That He died for sins and rose from the grave. Then you too will have life. And you too will know what it means to give thankful praise unto God and not unto man or unto self. Those who trust in Him will not be disappointed because in Christ the unfailing love and mercy of God is manifested, revealed to us. This time I'd like to just give a challenge if you're perhaps visiting with us and it's not a habit of yours to go to church Sunday after Sunday. You go on Thanksgiving, Christmas perhaps, and I want to let you know that we are so glad that you're here. We praise God that you're here because it's by God's divine appointment that you're here. God called you here to be here to worship. May this be a new day for you. I pray that we pray as God's people that this would be a new day for you, where you too would give thankful praise unto God, not only as an individual, but also among God's people, in attending worship with His people Sunday after Sunday. And so I say that with all love and respect, that this too may be a new day for you, a day of thanksgiving, a day of thankful praise unto God. And so, dear friends, brothers and sisters in the Lord, as you celebrate Thanksgiving Day today, give thankful praise to God with God's people, with your family, and know this, that He deserves it because of His deeds in creation, the world that we see around us, and His glory and might and power, but also because He delights in you. Because He bought you, purchased you by the precious blood of His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for the words of the Psalms, which are really songs and prayers unto you, giving thankful praise to your most holy name. Oh Lord, not one of us here is worthy of your grace. Not one here can claim power and might unto themselves. We come solely in faith, solely by the blood of Jesus Christ, solely by His death and resurrection, knowing that by Christ and Christ alone, we have known the forgiveness of sins. And we have been given new hearts, hearts that seek after Him, and hearts that cry out with thankful praise to you. You have revealed to us our depravity. You have revealed to us your mercy in Christ. And so we have no real reason to complain or bicker or grumble. And we have every reason to give thanks and praise unto your most holy name. And so, Lord, we pray that you would change our hearts and help us, O God, to count our blessings every day, the material and spiritual blessings that we know. Lord God, we thank you for the visitors among us today. We thank you that in your sovereignty, in your providence, you've brought them here to us. And we do pray for them and their families, that you would shower them with your love and mercy in Jesus Christ. And may all of us, O Lord, leave this place a people thankful to you. And as we celebrate this day together, may we continue to offer praise and thanks to your most holy name and for on behalf of this nation as well. In a nation of turmoil and trials and tribulations, O Lord, may you call us to repentance and faith. And we pray this, Lord, because only you can do this. And you have the power to do this. You have the might. And so we thank you, O Lord, for this privilege we have to worship and to hear from your word. And may you bless it unto our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen.